The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 15th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed or pruned by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me, and my word abides in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, and that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So I have a couple of sentences that I would like you to finish for me. Pretty simple, I'm sure you'll know and catch on very quickly. So the first one is, out of sight. All right, very good. The second one is, absence makes the heart grow fonder, right. Well, my wife went to see her mother this weekend, and she said to me before she left, my absence better make your heart grow fonder, she said. She told me I've been a little crabby these days, huh? Well, I wanted to blame it on the weather, but gosh, it's getting better. And, it could have had something to do with the fight that we had before she left. Oh, yeah, like you guys are always happy-dappy, right? My absence better make your heart grow fonder. These two statements are the two sides of the coin that Jesus and his disciples are dealing with as he is preparing to depart from them. Out of sight, out of mind, or absence makes the heart grow fonder. That is the question. What will it be for the disciples and that disciple community as Jesus prepares to go to Jerusalem to be crucified, to die, to suffer and to die, to be in the tomb for 3 days and then to rise again, only to ascend, to return to the Father? Will his disciples remember? Will they abide in him? Or will it be out of sight, out of mind? It is in this time of preparing for his departure that Jesus tells his disciples, I am the vine, my Father is the vine grower, and you are the branches. As with last week's text, the story of Jesus saying to his disciples, I am the good shepherd, we are first reminded by Jesus in this statement of the vine grower that there are bad shepherds and there are false vines. There are false things, people, or material goods that we can attach ourselves to, things that promise life, but ultimately can never give true life, but only death. In chapter 13, just a couple chapters earlier in John's Gospel, we hear the story of Judas, who attaches himself to the powers that be, to those powers that stand against Jesus. He attaches himself to them with a reward of 30 pieces of silver. And we know that that ultimately leads to his demise, to his death, because those things can never provide life, the life abundant that only God can provide. The road where faith is found is also the road where bad shepherds are encountered and false vines await to tempt, to trap, and entangle us. The key word in all of this is the word attachment. In Greek, it is the word meno, abide, to abide or to dwell, to connect with, to be linked to be attached to. If you abide, if you meno in me, Jesus says, you will bear much fruit. And if not, you can do nothing apart from me, Jesus says. You may produce fruit, but it will not be the fruit that your Heavenly Father has created you to produce. The fruit of love, the fruit of life, the fruit of abundant blessing. You see, Jesus has a particular kind of fruit in mind as he is talking to his disciples in this text. In verse 9, Jesus says, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide, meno, in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love." What are Jesus' two commandments? To love God with all of your heart, your soul, your strength, and your mind, and to love your neighbor as yourself. To live in obedience to God, and to live in service, loving service to your neighbor. This is not a new message. This is a message that has been carried forth since before the prophets. In Isaiah chapter 5, if you open your Bible to Isaiah chapter 5 and read the story of the vineyard, it's a story of God who plants Israel in the midst of the world, in the midst of the people, to be that vineyard. They were planted with the choicest vines. The fields were tilled. A fence was built around them. But we're told they failed to bring forth good fruit, but instead brought forth bitter and sour grapes. They failed to do justice. They failed to be a blessing to their neighbor. They failed to live in harmony with one another. And so therefore, instead of becoming a blessing to the world, they became turned inward and self-centered. Jesus is calling forth from you and I, from his people, from his discipleship community. He is calling forth justice and mercy and grace. He is calling forth the fruits of being in relationship with our Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Again, this message goes back even to creation, when God the Father put Adam and Eve into the garden and told them, commanded them to till it and care for it, to do life-giving things that would bless that creation. It carried on through Cain and through Abel. And we hear the story of Cain killing his brother Abel and then asking God, "Am I my brother's keeper?" And the implied answer within is yes. Yes, my child, you are your brother's keeper. To abide in, to connect with Jesus, is to connect with him in obedience to God and in love for our neighbor, as hard as that may be from time to time. In Luke chapter 16, we hear a story of a rich man and Lazarus. The rich man lived in luxury and lived the abundant life, filled with all kinds of good things during his life. And Lazarus, the poor man, the beggar, sat outside of this man's gate every day. And we're told that even sitting there begging, and the only care that he received was when the dogs would come and lick his wounds. As that story unfolds, we see Lazarus, after his death, abiding in, menoing in the bosom of Abraham. And the rich man is in Hades, we're told, agonizing, and cries out to Abraham to have Lazarus just go dip his finger in the water so that he might come and cool the rich man's tongue. It's a story that's disturbing, it's a story that's unsettling, but it's a story in which Jesus is teaching us the importance of understanding what it means to be obedient to God and to live in love for our neighbor. It's not about liking anyone. It's about being willing to move past ourselves. To move past ourselves and enter into a relationship of vulnerability with those to whom God calls us. It's about abiding in relationship with, being connected to, and being willing to help, being willing to see, being willing to touch, being willing to help. I am the vine. You are the branches, Jesus says. Jesus demonstrates this way of being when he goes to the cross for you and I, when he walks that road of suffering, taking upon himself that which belongs to us, our sin, our condemnation, our death. And in exchange, he gives us, he blesses us with his life. Something that we do not deserve, cannot earn, and can never afford to pay for. He gives us freely the gift of his life and his love. I am the vine, Jesus says. You are the branches, and the fruit that comes from me will be the fruit that comes from you. Today we get to witness God's work of grafting into his son, Jesus Christ, Rhys Julianne. It is by God's grace and mercy that God sees her, that God lays his eyes upon her, even as she was being knit together in her mother's womb, we're told in Psalm 139. And God sees what she is capable of. So far, it's been feed me, hold me, cuddle me, change me, in exchange for a smile.
Yeah.
She's a beautiful little girl. But God knows that she was created for good works, for acts of love, and God can see what she is capable of, just as God can see when God looks upon you, he can see what you are capable of. But you cannot do this apart from Jesus. You cannot do this on your own. It's too much. We must be connected. We must minnow in Jesus Christ, in the source of all goodness and love, in the source of all life and blessing. We can do nothing apart from him. And so God will continue to prune us. God will continue to prune us, to shape us, to cut us back, to form us and mold us. We will have times of success and we will have times of failure. And through all of that, God will shape us and mold us. He will prune us. And it will be painful at times. But the good news is that as we are being pruned, we are in, we remain in, we abide in the hands of the vine grower, the one who has planted us, the one who has gifted us, the one who has brought us forth and blessed us to be a blessing. It is in that one's hands that we remain through it all. I am the vine. You are the branches. We do not do this alone. We do it being connected to our Heavenly Father and to our Savior, Jesus Christ, and we do it connected to one another, linked together, connected together in him. Absence makes the heart grow fonder. Let's try it again. Absence makes the heart grow fonder. Your friends, Jesus, he loves you. He has created you for a purpose. You are in his hands. And he will bring forth until the day of Jesus Christ, he will continue to bring forth that good work that began in you on the day that you were baptized. Until the day of Jesus Christ, he will continue to bring forth that good work in you. Amen.